subject today is about money and riches, and most importantly, about true riches, understanding what are true riches. So I want you to catch a couple of things. How do we understand true riches? Riches are, you know, I look for some kind of a definition. This is the best I could come up with. Riches is owning a multiple accumulations of whatever, right? Possessing multiple accumulations. So the scriptures come along and say, hey, but there's another element of this called true riches. So what would we use for a definition of true riches? And so I decided it would be the multiple accumulations without pain, without grief, or without sorrows. Actually, I want to go to the next slide because I actually changed the definition. So look at it again. Multiple lasting accumulations. I missed that in the first slide, right? Look at this now. Multiple lasting accumulations without pain, without grief, or without sorrow. Now, these lasting true riches, these lasting accumulations, multiple as they are a result of one basic thing. And here it is. It is the blessing of the Lord that it maketh rich, and he has no sorrow with it. What I want us to grasp today is some, and there are so many thousands probably could be counted. I want us to see if we can't get some kind of a summary of what is it that this blessing of God has provided. And watch this next scripture. And because there's a condition attached to this. As you know, in scripture, God and the love of money are opposite one another. They compete for our lordship. What's going to be the basis of our decisions, God's wisdom or money? And most people have been schooled to make all decisions on the basis of perceived personal profit. And thus, all they get is the result of that choice. But God comes along and he says, I don't want money to rule you. I don't want anything to take my place in your life. And so he puts his condition. He says, if you have not been faithful in money, then who would commit to yourself, look at this now, the true riches? The flip side of this is simple. If we are faithful about money, not letting it rule, etc., and wise stewardship of it, as we've been learning, then we get the true riches. So, what I want to do is to spend a few moments with you talking about what are the true riches. Are you ready? Because they are really exciting. Okay, here we go. Number one, how about this one? Closeness to God. Is there anything that can compare with that treasure? Can you imagine? Now, here's the picture of those who are wicked, and here's the problem they've got. They are a long way away from you, God. And in converse with this, we are promised that if we will draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you, to us. Nigh is an old word, means near, really close, right? That if we will not let anything separate us from him, but get close to him, he will be close to us. Boy, this is really great. And look at what happens now. With this closeness to God, thou wilt show me, look at what happens. You will know the path of life that you should trod. Ooh. And while you're going down this pathway, you will know his presence. Watch it now. You will never be alone. Jesus gave us that promise, remember? I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end. So watch this now. He will show you the path of life, and he's going to be there with us because in his presence there is, look at this now, fullness of joy. I mean, life is designed by God to be so exciting and so wonderful. In fact, one scripture says he wants us to be as if it were riding upon the high places of the earth, like really on top of everything, right? That's what Jesus said when he said, I'm come that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. Wow. So watch this now. In this closeness to God, we get to know the path we should walk on. He walks on it with us. We have his presence, that closeness to God brings a joy. You know, one of the tragedies of today is people are looking for joy in all the wrong places. When God attends your path, there's fullness of joy. And watch this now. And at the same time, on his right hand, there are pleasures. Ooh. Lasting pleasures. True riches. Money cannot compare with this. Is being close to God. A second thing that constitutes true riches is Christ's great redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. Can you imagine the greatness of having everything you've done wrong canceled, written down in a book, and now it turns out it really is invisible ink because nobody can see it anymore? So comes the scripture and says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now watch this. This is not just like skimpily getting into the kingdom. Watch here now. But he's going to give it according to the riches of his grace. This is a richness. All of a sudden, in a moment of time with the entrance of Jesus, because you come to him properly, the blood that was shed for you cleanses you of every sin, every iniquity you've ever committed. And you have a clear conscience, before God. And you can stand up and then you can like yourself once again and know that you really are in great condition. What is that worth? It's worth a lot more than money. And look at this, because in this he abounded toward us. This is not... God's extravagant. Did you know that? He's extravagant. Just take a look at how many beasts of the field there are, how many flowers there are, how many kinds of trees there are, how many kind of fish there are, how many birds are in the air, how many people. Wow, look at. He is extravagant. So when he comes with his great redemptive power, he's extravagant. He takes away all your sins. Wow. And you have redemption and forgiveness of sins. And what is that worth? It's called by the scripture, so great is salvation. This is so great. One of the true riches. First of all, closeness with God. Secondly, Christ's redemption and forgiveness of sin. The third thing that I would identify as true riches, you are really rich if you are stable mentally and emotionally. That's a rich person. It saves a lot of medical expenses and psychiatric expenses for starters. God comes to provide for you a way to have mental power with the ability to control your thoughts, your thinking, and your feelings. Stability. Not up one day and down the next. Now, we're going to revisit this subject in a couple of weeks, but I want you to see this. What does it profit a man if you gain the whole world, if you had all the money in the world? But if you had all the money in the world and you lost your own soul, you lost your mind, you lost your ability to feel properly, what would all those riches be worth in comparison? You know, a lot of rich people who are very sad. Broken marriages, broken homes, broken health, broken minds. Feelings that push suicidal ideas. Trashy concepts rule them. What's the profit if you had all the money, but you lose your soul? And then the question is, or what shall a man give in exchange for his mind? His emotions, his will. True riches, it's mental stability, emotional control, stability. Coming up, we're going to do a teaching on how to care for your soul. You know, one of the devastating ideas that you can find in the book of Psalms is when David said, no man cared for my soul. Who cares about your soul? Really? Do you have any buddies? Any persons that care for your soul? Or is everybody out to extract from you? Who genuinely cares about your thinking, your feelings? So we'll deal with that, because you really need to know how to care for your own soul. Watch this now. Your soul, which is your mind and your emotions, watch, are critically important. And then we are instructed by Scripture to possess. That has the idea of in control. And your patience, with everything else going on, make sure you possess your soul. And all the money in the world, all the assets in the world, cannot compensate for a mind that's under control, for out of control. Now, this is really an interesting scripture as well. Faith has got a lot of intentions, a lot of blessings, a whole bunches of them, right? And in this life, God comes along and he says, I want you to see how faith should affect you. In the end, because this is how you judge a matter, what is the end of it, right? Remember, there's ways that seem right unto a man, but on the end thereof are the ways. So you judge things by the end result. Watch this, because this is the end result of faith. It is the salvation of your soul. Can you tell in this present culture in which we live? Can you tell in the present conditions of the world that the greatest need is people who have mental control? If somebody said it, I don't want to believe it. That the whole world has become an insane asylum. Insanity's everywhere. Promoted, propagated. Insane leadership. You see, evil is not sustainable. We have insanities happening at leadership levels. They have lost it. Watch this now, because I don't want you to miss this. Evil can never be intelligent. Evil blinds people to reason and principle. It is the root cause of insanities, mass murdering. Now, I mean, I'm going to look at mass. I'm not talking about five or six getting shot here and there. That's two. We have countries that are killing tens of thousands of people. And they think it's the right thing to do. I say to you, they have brain damage. They have mental issues. You, my beloved, my friends, on the other hand, are the object of this wonderful grace of God and a faith in what he says to be true. And the end of your faith is going to make you salvaged in your thinking. What is that worth? What dollar peg can you put on that? What are true riches? Well, so far we've just seen a couple of them. The closeness with God, how wonderful is that? And this redemption that provides total forgiveness and cleansing. And now a stable mind. Why is that important? Because your mental and emotional condition will determine every decision you make. Every decision. For example, the scripture says that anger rests in the bosom of a fool. If a person makes a decision when they're angry, what are the chances of it being a right decision and not foolish? So God comes along and he says, I want you to know that your faith is going to preserve your sanity and give you composure and confidence and peace that you can never find with any numbers of dollar bills. It is true riches, my friend. It's pretty rich to live relatively pain-free. This is kind of related. It's something we have forgotten that we need to be reminded of. It's something that the world needs to know. Here it is. The way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard. That's not a nice way to live, because every transgression has a consequence to it. The wages of sin have never changed. They are destructive. So God comes along and he's going to provide a way of life that's not painful, relatively speaking. Watch it now. This is what he says: my yoke is easy. Now, you don't want to miss the idea of the yoke. The yoke is, remember, you got two oxen or two animals, and they're held together by a yoke so that they're both pulling the load. And by the way, in ancient times, the yokes were designed that if you had a strong animal and a weaker animal, that it distributed the pulling power, the pulling weight, to the stronger animal more than the weaker animal, so that it didn't kill the weaker animal. Because the weaker animal is incapable of pulling the same amount, see? So the yoke is designed to adjust so that a person can pull, so an animal can pull its proper, according to its proper strength, its proper weight. And now Jesus comes along, and this is what he says: if you yoke up with me, you'll find that your side of the deal is really light. You can handle it. You can handle it. Do you know that there's nothing in your future that God bless you cannot handle? Watch. So the invitation, come unto me. If you labor, if you're heavy laden, if you've got a load of life on you that's weighing you down, come to me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm not a show-off. I'm not a narcissist. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. I am not coming to dominate, squish, squash, press you down and make you... ugh. That's why you need to know what the Lord is really like. He's meek and lowly of heart. And if we do this, we shall find rest. Uh-oh, watch here now. To your soul. To your mind. To your emotions. No longer running rampant and out of control. Calm, tranquil, peaceful, rested. Because my yoke is easy. Everybody thinks that living the Christian life is, I don't know where this propaganda came from, that it's hard to be a Christian. It's hard not to be a Christian. It's the way of the transgressor that's hard. Not the way of right that's hard. It's the way of wrong that's hard. So this is really true riches, isn't it? Rest unto your soul. Now here is true riches. Access to God's word. Not the reporter's word. Not the politician's word, not to the professor in college's word, not to your teacher. Access to God's word. Joe. Thy word. And we could spend so much time on this, couldn't we? And you know this so well already. Thy That word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my pathway. Whoa, I know where I'm going because your word's showing me the path. Shout out how to watch out for my feet. And well, how shall a man, young man, cleanse his way? That's really a big question of the day. The answer is by taking heed thereto according to the word. Access to God's word enables a person to start going the right way. What is that kind of advice worth? My goodness. And so thy word have I hid in my heart that I stop me going the wrong way. Access to, listen to this, to Job. Job says, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Like, whoa. True riches. That's why we and you, we all should support all the Bible societies. Get this word. I don't know how many translations we're into now, but I think we got most of the world entirely covered already. Everybody can have the Word of God. Wow, what a richness that is. Well, when you get the Word of God, you get something else. And this is true riches, wisdom. Can you imagine living your life without wisdom? And what is wisdom? But the ability to see all of life's situations from an accurate point of view. That's wisdom. So, wisdom is speaking here. It's a personification. And she says, receive my instruction and not silver. Notice the contrast here. Receive my instruction. Look at this. Not silver. Silver may seem like a richness, but you're going to see more about that in a moment. But true riches is instruction instead of silver. Look at this now. Next it goes, and receive my knowledge. Wisdom wants to impart information to you, not discernible from any other source. And you want to get this knowledge, look at this, rather than gold. Then what? Look at this now. Choice gold, 24 karat. It's more important than riches to have wisdom. You're going to see why in a moment. For wisdom is better than rubies. Check out the cost of rubies these days. Now watch this. Wisdom is not only better than rubies. Anything that may be desired, you dream it up, cannot be compared to having wisdom. The ability to see accurately, adjudicate properly, decide permanently. High wisdom. I'll also give you prudence. And I'll show you how to find out the knowledge of really smart inventions. For the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So wisdom's going to keep you from evil. It's going to keep you from pride. Whoa, that's a biggie. What's that worth? It's going to keep you from arrogancy, narcissism. It's going to keep you from the evil way. And it's going to keep you from the smart mouth. The put downs. The rude comments. The sarcasm, the rudeness. Because counsel is mine and sound wisdom. And you get understanding. Now watch this. And you will have strength. Cannot buy strength. By me, kings reign. If any king, if any leader is doing the right job, it's because he learned it from wisdom. By me, princes rule, judge noble, even judges of the earth. The tragedy of our day As now we have leaders and judges without wisdom. But those who reign properly have wisdom. Wisdom says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early, they shall find me. Always seek wisdom before the decision, not after the decision. Make wisdom the fundamental of your choices without all the other options. Now watch this. Why is wisdom better than mere riches? Watch now. Because riches and honor are with me. So true riches includes riches with a whole bunch more. Wow. Now watch this, because these kind of riches that come from wisdom are different than just mere accumulations. Watch it. They are durable riches and rightness. Sure. My fruit is better than gold. True riches, better than riches. My fruit is better than gold. It's better than fine gold. And the benefits of me are better than the choice silver. I lead in the way of doing what's right. And I am in the midst of the path when you have to adjudicate and make decisions, the paths of judgment. Because I'm going to cause those that love me to, look at this now, inherit substance. And I will fill their treasures. So you get riches and a whole bunch more, because wisdom is one of the true riches. How about this one? Comfort, the comfort and leadership of God's Spirit. You can spend a lot of money on counselors. Here's what you get. This is really rich. This is true riches. For Jesus said, I'm going to pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Got an issue? Go to God. Need a comfort? Go to God. You got this. Watch this now. Because this comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, you're going to see in a moment, he will abide with you forever. Like, he's never going to go away. This is true riches, to have the leadership of God's Spirit. Because remember, from the prophet, the voice of God is not in the cloud and in the thunder or in the lightning or in the storm or in the earthquake. But you shall hear behind you a still small voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. You can't buy that. Who is this comforter? It is the Spirit of Truth. Now watch this, because the world cannot receive him. Because it doesn't see him, doesn't know him. But you know him. And he abides with you. And look at this. I love this. He shall be in you. Wow. That's why everybody needs to get to Calvary, to the cross. Amen. Because Jesus comes into your heart by his Holy Spirit and lives in you. What's that worth? This is better than riches. This is true riches. Having God's Spirit leading and guiding you.
Well, when you get God's Spirit, you get the fruit of the Spirit in your life.
Whoa. But the fruit of the Spirit, now we've got a list here, and I'm going to go through them again. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, good. Against such there's no law. We have it memorized, right? But I want to slow it down. I want you to see the treasure here. Watch this now. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You get the power to love instead of hate. And then watch this. The second one is joy. And now you have joy even in the face of trials. Yo. Which makes them hardly seem like trials anymore, right? That's why the suffering that we do, yeah, we suffer, but there's not a lot of suffering in our suffering. How about long suffering? The ability to put up with. Gentleness. The ability to be gentle in spite of a harsh world, a harsh culture, a harsh businesses. Goodness. To be good in the face of evil. Just happens. Now we got it. This is what makes a person rich. Because evil can't seduce and induce us and reduce us to being like it. To have faith instead of doubts. Nothing wrong with doubts as long as you don't believe them. That's why everybody needs to learn to believe their beliefs and doubt their doubts. Meekness. The ability to be meek and humble in a world of pride and arrogance. Ooh. Well, we're talking big riches now, aren't we? Temperance, the ability to have self-control in a world obsessed with self-gratification. The fruit of the Spirit. You know, I think I missed one here. The ability to have peace in the midst of perplexity. To have peace in the middle of turbulence. Whew. These are true riches, my friends. The fruit of the Spirit. Want to know some more true riches? Holy matrimony. Oh. Proper marriage is God's idea. What a richness this is. Marriage is honorable in all. And by the way, in marriage, the bed is undefiled.
But those who pervert marriage, whoremongers and adulterers, will be judged. What is rich is not sexuality. It's sexuality properly placed in holy matrimony. That's rich. One man, one woman for life. But how do we know this is a good thing? Because God looked down and he says, it is not good that the man should be alone. So I'm going to make a helpmate for him. And there isn't a woman in my audience who wouldn't say amen to this. They need help. Men need help. And the pastor's wife just shouted the loudest, just for those of you who couldn't hear. Not good to be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. For whosoever findeth a wife, watches, finds a good thing, Watch. It doesn't end there. Watch this. Do you know what happens when you come into holy matrimony? Are you ready? This is like, I don't know. Sometimes I wish I didn't have an audience. I could just shout happy up here all the time. You know, like, watch this now. Because when you find a wife, when you enter into holy matrimony, holy, got it? Holy matrimony. Look at this. You obtain favor of the Lord. Whoa. You're going to get from God what you otherwise would not receive. Whoa. Holy matrimony. Wow. And the great preacher of wisdom said, two are better than one. They have good reward for their labor. And, you know, what's interesting about this holy matrimony is that a man is so different from a woman and a woman is so different from a man. But here God takes a man who distinctly thinks different, acts different than a woman, and a woman who thinks different, acts different than a man, and puts them together, and now you get a wholeness. Because without her, he only sees from one perspective. So now they become a team. And two are better than one now because they have good reward for their labor. Here's another great something that's true riches. The privilege of raising charactered children. Children. A man is rich who has children. So what's so rich about having children? And I think I have to say that in our culture, most women understand how wonderful it is, but the men don't seem to enough, and so they need to be instructed. You know, when a woman doesn't need instruction, God doesn't give it to her. She doesn't need it. If she needed instruction, and sometimes she does, God's got instructions for women. And when it comes to children, there are not a lot of instructions for women about children, but there's a lot of instructions for men about children because they need the instructions. For example, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. Oh, responsibility kicking in here. Bring them up in the nurture. Got to be nurturing. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Whoa. Isn't it interesting that men need different instructions than women? For example, your husbands, be not bitter toward your wife. Men need that instruction. Why? Because men don't get along well with people who think differently from them. So they get bitter. So God says, oh, don't do that. Because I brought the two of you together with opposing and alternate viewpoints and emotions so you can each get balanced. So then comes God and he says, okay, now I'm going to give you this great privilege of raising children. But he defines this. They that be of thee, that's talking about your children, they are going to build the old waste places. In other words, where we failed in our lives, we want to train our children so they won't experience the same failure. Whatever we did that was wasteful, we don't. So you see, what should really be happening is each additional generation should be smarter, wiser, and more righteous than the one before. More character. See? It's amazing to me that God turns over and puts into our hands a son or a daughter who is an eternal person. So what's the point of parenthood? It is the fact that you're going to raise up the foundations. You're going to establish the content, character in these for many generations to come. This is why you're doing this. This is your life. And if you do this, they won't be like Grandpa. They won't be like you. They're all going to be better going forward. And you will be called the repairer of the breach. And you'll be called the restorer of paths to dwell in. In fact, I wish I'd put more of the scripture in because I was going to say that your children shall speak to the enemies in the gates. Now that's why. This greatest privilege must not be infringed upon by secularism. We cannot turn our children over to those who would teach error, to teach them wrong, either by instruction or by their example. So they need to be guarded during the first years of their life until they're able to stand by themselves. What a great privilege it is to have children. I can't leave this. Listen to God. Except you become as little children, you can't enter the kingdom. Teachable, trainable, moldable. Jesus loved the little children, didn't he? He loved the children. The mothers brought the children to Jesus and the disciples shooed them away. Hey, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is God the Son here. What are you doing with it? Bring your kids here. Did you know what Jesus did? He rebuked the disciples and he said, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. I want to talk about true riches. How about eternal life? My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Nobody can stop this from happening. This is true riches. Eternal life. Forever life. And Jesus
said it starkly. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. For us, death is a graduation. It's a promotion. It's a transition. It's a promise. Eternal life. That's why the scripture says, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. See, if it's just about money, you lose all the true riches here. You go to the true riches, you get money, but you get so much more. He that reapeth receives wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Let me just keep going because of our time situation. Because heaven's not just a place where we're going to sit around and harp. When you get to heaven, there are going to be treasures for you. An old song. Treasures there have I. Treasures that this world and all its wealth could never buy. And when I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'll find my treasures waiting on the other side. Treasures. Now watch. Remember this, back to the text we referred to. What is a profit? If a man gain the whole world but lose his soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for soul? That's the context of the next verse. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Whoa. If you know the book of Revelation, you know that when we get there, the first thing is going to be a big awards dinner. Did you know that? It's going to last 1,000 years. I think there's going to be chocolate. I have no doubt about it. It's going to be a banquet. And by the way, you know nothing's happening up there till we get there. Did you know that, right? All right. He says, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So what are these rewards? I want to tell you four of the things that you're going to get when you get to heaven. You ready? Number one, you're going to get a crown. And you're going to get three crowns. I'm going to tell you what they are in a moment. But this is why you should not be laying up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up ourselves treasures in heaven where moths can't mess with it, nor rust can't be corrupted, and thieves cannot break through and steal. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Watch here now. The first crown you get is called the crown of right, because you've done right. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And the scripture goes on to say, and not for me only. So that's the first crown you get. The second crown is called the crown of life. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations. When he is tried, he shall receive, look at this, the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. All right, you got it? Crown of righteousness, the crown of life, and thirdly, a crown of glory. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive the crown of glory that fades not away. My goodness. And then watch this. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I'm going to give him a white stone. Three crowns and a white stone. Now, what's the white stone about? Watch this now. It is a personalized, watch this now. I will give him a white stone. And in the stone, a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receives it. You talk about security. You're going to have
a contact with God passport, password, you call it what you want. Nobody else will know it, and you will have direct access to God the rest of forever.
Well, our time is basically spent, and I'm glad that we've had a chance to look. I hope that in making your adjudication, you can see the fact that true riches far outweigh mere dollars and cents. You are very rich. You are very rich. I want you to go your way today contemplating these things that are in your possession. And I'm hoping it will give you a new song in your heart, a new spring in your step, a new energy like you've never had before, because you have true riches.
When you know why you were born, you'll have a new appreciation for your true self. You will know your true purpose in life, and you'll know why you matter. Then you'll be equipped to choose a life path full of meaning and joy. Uncover the truth about you. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self. Mark Twain said, "There are two important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you find out why." And David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will launch you on your true path. Take action now and visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Live a fulfilling life now without pressures to conform to the ideas and expectations of others. Live the fulfilling life you were created to live and enjoy the freedom, comfort, and confidence that can bring. Become the real you and discover your ENA, your embedded natural abilities. Break free from the prison of your past and experience the joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment you were created for. Act now. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born and order your copy of this amazing new book. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will fill you with new expectation for your best life, the life you were created to live.